Get started, try to do this on time. Welcome to the Thursday, July 17th public meeting for the Arizona Set Aside Procurement Program Committee. So call to order at 1:30, and we'll just go around the table, and if we can introduce ourselves, that'll take care of roll call.
Hi, I'm Gary Hahn from the DDS Procurement.
Brian Radecki from Arizona Correctional Industries.
Rick Cradle from the Arizona Lottery.
Steve King with Beacon Group.
Andy Sauer with TCA.
Carol Carr, Chief Human Services.
Barbara Corrella, State Procurement Office.
Jim Apperson, DDS.
Dick Monaco, Arizona Industries for Brian.
Melinda Beeman, Arizona Department of Health Services.
Perfect. So the third item on the agenda is the discussion for possible actions. The first item is the status report from the Subcommittee for Procedural Decisions for the Set Aside Program. Jim, do you want to present that? Sure.
All right, so the Subcommittee had its meeting on what date? July 8th, okay. And so, as you can see by the minutes, we had quite a discussion on a variety of issues. Dick Monaco, to my left here, gave a presentation regarding several issues, including the ones you see listed here for fair market price, significant disabilities, value added, and several other issues that will be, I think, the subject of ongoing work for the committee. There are, to kind of cut to the bottom line here, there are two issues that may require action by the full committee, and we're prepared to discuss them at any level of detail you would like. The first is we believe there needs to be a review by the Attorney General's Office of ARS 41-2636, Section A, that reads, to qualify for set-aside contracts, certified nonprofit agencies must maintain an employment ratio of at least 60% of program employees with significant disabilities. And so what we're not sure of is whether that 60% refers to the actual work performed on a set-aside contract or the organization as a whole. And so we were thinking at the subcommittee level that would be helpful to have a review by the Attorney General and get some advice from counsel on that point. Would you like to pause for consideration of that item, or should I go through the rest?
Why don't you go ahead and give both recommendations, and we'll sure. Discuss each recommendation.
Fair enough. The subcommittee also recommends that the full committee consider favorably a change in quarterly reporting pursuant to ARS 41-2636, Section E. Separate totals for state expenditures to set aside vendors should be divided into three components and then have a grand total instead of just having a grand total, so you can't really determine what happened where. And so those entities would be Arizona Correctional Industries, Arizona Industries for the Blind, and certified nonprofit agencies, and then also have the grand total. So it's not changing the report itself, but just how it's formatted. So you can see a breakout of some of those specific numbers. So we recommend to the full committee that that be considered favorably.
Thank you. For the committee, we're going to open discussion on the recommendation from the subcommittee A, which is seeking clarification of the statement in 41-2636 to qualify for set-aside contracts. Certified nonprofit agencies must maintain an employment ratio of at least 60% of program employees with significant disabilities. Is there any discussion?
I think one of the key issues that needs to be looked at when it, if it is approved to move to the AG's office is this word program that's in there is it can be confusing if you're not familiar with the environment that we work in, and so that what they may interpret as, I think what the spirit of what program means to us is that it is a program specific to what you're doing for that work. So maybe the question to the AG office needs to be more pointed in that is this intended for program work that's specific to the project that's being approved, and not program work that's just program people within that agency. So my fear is that if we send this over the fence to the AG office and they look at it, they may come back with an interpretation without understanding what the definitive word of program is, because I'm not sure where this actually came from.
Would it, if the recommendation of the vote for the committee is to go forward, would you be willing to assist in defining program as it's used in a certified nonprofit serving disabled, so that we can at least provide that framework within the Attorney General's review, so that they can use that as they look also back against what statute says and the common definition usually defined, so that that's kind of where they head when they first start, is where is it defined elsewhere or used elsewhere?
Absolutely.
Any discussion? Hearing no other discussion, the chair will entertain a motion.
I'll so move.
I'll second.
Jagatha? It's been moved and seconded to recommend that the Attorney General provide assistance in clarifying 412636. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed? Motion carries. Chair will now open discussion for recommendation B, which is to modify the set-aside reporting structure. Is there any discussion?
So just for the full committee, I'm the one who made that recommendation at the subcommittee level, and the subcommittee, as you see, has approved it. The reason for doing so is that this reporting goes to the legislature and to the governor's office. And I believe that separating the three entities that are called out in the statute just provides a little clearer picture of exactly what's going on, and a quick reference for all of us without having to go through the detailed reports as to how much volume is going to each of the entities. And in particular, with ACI being such a large number, that's fine. It can be difficult for us to track exactly how well we're doing Arizona District 1 and certified nonprofit agencies in terms of the total volume through state set aside. So I think it enhances the report. It gives a quick, a quick look to see how things are going.
Any other discussion? Hearing no other discussion, the chair will entertain a motion.
A motion.
Second. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries.
And Chair, there are a couple of other items that I think I should mention that were discussed in the subcommittee that I didn't mention initially.
Certainly.
In our upcoming meetings, which, by the way, will be September 30th and December 9th, if anyone wants to attend, I'm sure you're all welcome. We will be looking at some other things, including the process of reviewing and finalizing for the full committee's review, an application for certification to become a set-aside provider. So that's going to be an interesting discussion, and the application for recertification to maintain that status. We'll also be looking to define the term purpose for the state set-aside committee and how to improve communication that would foster more opportunity for set-aside providers. So we're going to be pursuing that issue as well. We will also look at defining the process for submitting a new product or service request or application. I think that there needs to be a review of that process, the subcommittee feels. So we're going to take that up at a subsequent meeting, and that will be an important process as well. So I just wanted the full committee to be aware of the other things we're going to be considering at the meetings coming up. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Evers? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number two, contract extensions. First contract extension is for STARS for sponges, scrubbing, and scouring. The contract period will be from August 1st of 2014 through July 31st of 2015. Second contract extension is with AIB. Media Sanitation and Instruction. That contract will run from August 30th of 2014 through August 29th of 2015. And the third contract extension is with AIB for Document Imaging. That contract will run from September 13th of 2014 through September 12th of 2015. Is there any discussion on the contract extensions?
I'd just like to point out to the committee that the two for Arizona Industries for the Blind, there was no changes in the language of the contract, no changes in pricing. It's exactly the same as it was in the previous period. So that was approved. And do I have to recuse myself from that one?
Should I as well? Since they report to my shop, probably.
Hearing no other discussion, I'll entertain a motion on the contract extensions.
Motion approved. Second.
So moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Contract extensions are authorized. Item number four, the approval of minutes. In front of you, you have the draft minutes of the July 8th subcommittee meeting and the April 16th full set-aside committee. Give me a second to look through those. Discussion on the approval of minutes.
Madam Chair, on page three, item number four,
the actual committee of subcommittee.
The committee of subcommittee. It has a motion made by Daniel Salazar and seconded by the same individual.
We'll go back and look in through it unless you did vote.
I did.
You did? Okay. Oh, yeah. We won't let you do that again. We'll go back to our notes to clarify who actually made the statements on that one. That's good. I appreciate you being excited about that. You're engaged. Absolutely. Questions in the minutes? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion about the April 16th, 2014 set-aside committee minutes with correction pending.
Motion to approve with correction pending.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Chair will entertain a motion regarding the July 8th, 2014 subcommittee minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
And now we've got through normal stuff, let's get to good stuff.
Item number five, contract items for possible action. First item on this is the marketing and training initiative, which is cooperative with APAD. At the end of last meeting, I passed out a copy of an MOU that APAD had proposed the state procurement office enter into. They had asked you to read that and be prepared to discuss at this meeting. Randy, you want to speak a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to. For the record, Randy Patron, representing the Arizona Association of Providers for People with Disabilities, or better known as APAD. Just a reminder to the committee, myself and Mark Jacoby were at the last meeting, presented this idea of a collaboration agreement with SPO and the ADOA. Just to give you all a reminder background, APAD had been looking at, for a couple of years, legislative changes to the state set aside program in the hopes of growing the program, really trying to get beyond that 1% goal that's in statute. As we met with staff of SPO and other folks in the industry, we realized that really no matter what changes we made legislatively speaking, we weren't very close to hitting that 1% required goal that's in statute. And so how can we really get towards that 1% so that eventually, which is APAD's hope, is that we can extend that goal to 2, to 3, 4%, whatever that is later on down the line. But if we're nowhere close to the 1%, how do we get there? And so APAD went back and took a look at it and kind of internally talked about this, and that's where the collaboration agreement came forth. What we believe is that part of the issues in the community is that there are providers out there that don't realize that the set-aside program exists. There are providers out there that maybe have tried to become part of the program, but maybe don't have their business side put together to compare with the other folks that come before this committee in SPO. And so we really believe that sort of the marketing, the education, the training aspect really needs to be beefed up on both sides. And so the intent of the collaboration agreement between APAD and SPO would be for both sides, so the state side and the private public side, if you will, can work together to beef up that education, that training, that marketing for providers. And so that was the main purpose and gist of the agreement. And as you all will recall, there were detailed goals for both APAD and for SPO to meet in order to exchange that information again to grow the program. One of the things that APAD really felt was important was to try and start identifying providers who could fit in within the set-aside program but that haven't applied or that maybe aren't aware of the program or aren't participating for whatever reason. And so what was part of that collaboration agreement, which APAD has already gone forth and started with, is to try and survey providers across the state to try and get a sense for who else might be out there and maybe why they're not participating and kind of start that dialogue. So APAD has already gone and done an initial survey of providers. We went to both DES and to DHS, to their public databases, and went and looked for any type of provider that provides employment services. So APAD or non-APAD member, it didn't matter, and we didn't specify the type of employment service either, because a lot of times somebody might do one type of employment service but they have the capability to do another type. So we were very broad in what we sent out, and we sent out surveys through SurveyMonkey to about 99 different providers that we could identify and find their email addresses for. We got about 29 responses back, which for an online survey really isn't that bad. And of those, we found that of the nonprofits that participated, and since we weren't very specific at the beginning, we grabbed for-profit and not-for-profit. So of the not-for-profits that responded, A little over half of them are not participating in the set-aside program, and they self-identify the number of employees, and it's almost 500 employees that they have that potentially could be working in the set-aside arena. And so again, this was an initial survey. We were just trying to identify folks that we could pull in and start having these conversations. But I think it was important for us to see that. And I think there are providers out there that could be participating. And so I think next step for us is to try and figure out why they're not participating. But wanted to share that information with the committee, let you all know that we've moved forward on some of the things we think are important and that are in that collaboration agreement. And again, would encourage the committee's consideration for asking SPO to enter into this. Thank you.
Did anybody have any comments on the actual MOU?
First of all, schools that I member rate that as well and provider of services and also, you know, in a set-aside program. So I think one of the things that we talked about already in the subcommittee really ties right in with what Randy was talking about too, the need for a process, you know, that's identifiable and everything else. I think part of that collaboration agreement definitely is, you know, working together to so people are trained and know how to submit what the state needs in order to, you know, adequately look over a proposal and grade a proposal, you know, or recommend a proposal. So I think it's very, very important that we do work together on this. And the collaboration agreement, or whatever it's going to be called, it would be a real positive step in the right direction.
I was just wondering a point of clarification here. So I've looked at the draft together. And are we agreeing, or is on the table right now, to agree to the entire memorandum of understanding, or because the heading we have here is marketing and training initiative.
Well, and that's kind of, to slice it and dice it many different ways, that's kind of the challenge. The memorandum or the memorandum of understanding truly would be between APED and SPO and not the committee. However, I think from, and now I'm going to step out of chair and be just a member of the committee, there are some concerns that I would have from the state procurement office perspective. I agree with marketing, I agree with training, I agree with education. There is a comment in there that says, that talks about me posting or not posting something onto the Procurazy website until it has been run through the set-aside providers. And from an efficiency and customer expectation, that is challenging for me as an assistant director for an organization. That creates a bottleneck that is not going to be what we see, you know, on behalf of my customers if I'm saying, well, I have to wait and then I have to develop policies and procedures and how long do I wait and what kind of responses are required. I think that this committee also has a portion in that cooperative and collaboration about what we talked about the subcommittee doing. We need to get the process together, and then this committee also needs to educate and help educate providers on submissions and what it's looked for. It's not just the state procurement office that truly is going forward to work with APED in this effort. We chair the committee. We certainly make sure that those contracts are posted on Procurazy and make the CPOs aware that those contracts exist. But I'm not the one that gets to judge solely what goes under contract and what doesn't go under contract. So. I would like to see the collaborative agreement maybe expanded a little bit to include some of the goals that the set-aside committee has put together so that it can be encompassed from all parties' perspective. And I also, from the SPO perspective, would like to see us focus more on the education and maybe pre-notification, but I can't agree to not posting something on a Procurazy website until it's been processed by providers.
Okay, so I guess I really don't have a problem with the marketing and training part of it. I think some of the other issues, as you pointed out, are somewhat tied into some of the work the subcommittee is doing. And it might be best for the subcommittee to have a chance.
I mean, it's all good, and it certainly is in the spirit of kind of the set aside contract, there's no doubt. But, you know, to say that, I'm just not sure, are we going to go to a vote here? I'm just still, if we're just talking about marketing and training, you know, I think I can vote yes. We should move forward with that initiative. If we're talking about the rest of the proposal, there may be more discussion that needs to take place.
I have a question.
I was going to say, I could tell you.
Well, and the question is whether or not this committee would appropriately be tasked with approving an agreement that the Department of Administration will be entering into. We can't approve that agreement. I don't believe. We can recommend you consider it or something to that effect, but we can't vote for you to do this. So if you would like a motion, something more generic, encouraging the department to review and, as appropriate, adopt a collaborative agreement, that's fine, but I don't know if you want to take that step at this time.
I agree that, you know, I think it should be a, you know, to recommend, you know, to the department to do it. And I don't believe that APAD's proposal that they put forward is take or leave it type either. I know they want to negotiate, and I'm willing to work with the department on any wording that's more appropriate, you know, than it is. And I do definitely see a fit, you know, into the subcommittee stuff too that we're doing. So I think it's a natural that we would do something like this. And the training is very, very, I think, very important.
One other question, if I may. I don't know if in anyone's review of this, there was a discussion about any resource commitment in terms of cash or staff, but to do what's contemplated here is going to take a lot of staff time. And I don't know if there are staff or financial resources available to do everything that's contemplated here. But again, that's up to the department. Just raise the question.
Stepping outside of the chair, I will say that the discussions we've had have been, to a certain extent, high level. I think, as Brandy indicated, APAD's moving forward on getting some information so that they're better positioned to identify action items if this collaborative agreement goes forward. I've looked from a staff perspective and from existing tools available that may be able to help match to some of that. But we haven't gone to the fact that, well, we need three new classes or two new set-aside programs, or we haven't set like hard and fast goals. And one of the things to realize about a collaborative agreement, in some ways, these are our overarching goals and we're going to work together to achieve them. They don't have to specifically say by this date you have five done. But it is an agreement that we will consistently put our efforts together to go forward, and that's where I see the tie-in also coming back with this committee to help both of our entities meet those goals. Through the subcommittee work, and then once subcommittee work gets done and it's accepted by the committee, then it can roll out on both sides, whether it's through a vendor training fair or a survey, again, or an online forum and education component that maybe APAD can pull together. Maybe we do some collaborative meetings and group meetings together so that we can talk to individuals who are interested in continuing to participate in the program or are new to the program. I mean, so it's kind of overarching goals, but no specifics of you've got to do it this way. And I think that that's where I would come to the committee to say, we've got this ready. What is, you know, how do you see us rolling this out? And look to you for some assistance, because SPO can't do it all. It could be participation by existing providers that can help promote and support the program. APAD individuals that are kind of working the infrastructure and the services that they could do, as well as CPOs and other agencies, not just SPO, about who has those opportunities available to offer the individuals under this program. So from that perspective, I think it's encompassing, but it doesn't have to be specific. So in answer to your commitments on resources currently have been made. Did I answer that in such a roundabout fashion that I think we
got there?
Okay.
No, you're good.
It took me a while, but I got there. So. Any other discussion? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion if one is so desired.
What is the motion? Jim had to prove all said that he go lawful.
Well, what I said was that the committee would like to do so. We can recommend that the Department of Administration enter into discussions with APAD and come up with an agreement, if any, that they determine to be appropriate, consistent with the goals and objectives of this committee. Something.
A motion, what he said.
What he said.
What he said. Okay, I have a what he said motion. Do I have a second? I have a motion and a second. All those in favor saying aye?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. I have a little bit of help with this, guys. Next on the possible actions items is a new proposal from Quality Connections regarding office supplies. You should all have a package.
Briefly walk the committee through the proposal.
Certainly.
Well, thank you for having us here. My name is Doug Arnett, employee of Quality Connections and director of QC Office, which is really our retail sales department, or we often call our internal job creation engine of our agency. And ladies and gentlemen of the committee, our proposal is really simple. We're proposing that Quality Connections QC Office provide the state of Arizona with the service of desktop delivery of office supplies as a choice among many, many other vendors who will come in through the through the competitive bid process. So not as a mandatory provider. This proposal meets all the requirements of the set-aside program. That materials are readily available, and we're proposing a contract list of over 32,000 items. That pricing is competitive with the private sector. Those items are priced at 32% off of manufactured suggested retail on every single item on that list, and that the products are of equal quality to the products available in the private sector, which they are. And finally, that we can deliver statewide desktop delivery of these products to all state offices. And the statewide delivery component is really the most exciting and innovative part of this proposal. What we're proposing is a delivery network that we are now in the process of building through partnerships with other CNATIs like ourselves to provide the delivery service in the various markets around the state of Arizona. At this point, we have two of those delivery networks currently in place. We're partnered with another set-aside contractor, Valley Life, here in Phoenix, in order to provide the delivery service through a group-supported employment crew, which is a Division of Developmental Disabilities service. And we have a third, so we're operating a crew in Flagstaff serving the Northern Arizona communities. In Phoenix, Valley Life is currently operating. And starting next month, we have a partnership starting with Yavapai Exceptional Industries, which is another set-aside provider. And upon approval of this contract, we will enter into additional partnerships in order to provide this service statewide. And so at the end of the day, the service of desktop delivery of these products the products will be delivered by the disabled workers whom this program is intended to serve and to support. And as you guys know, putting people with disabilities to work is the mission of our organization. It's the mission of many other organizations represented in this room and certainly the mission of this committee. So I want to briefly walk you through some of the just the key points that support what we're talking about. One is capacity, our capacity to deliver these products, which can be looked at in three ways. First, our capacity to get the products. In order to meet that need, we partnered with the largest distributor of office supplies in the United States. They're a company called United Stationers. They have a distribution center here in Phoenix and 51 others across the country and are bigger than all the other competition. And so we will be able to meet the state's need there. Second part of capacity is our capacity as an organization to process and manage the orders. Our organization, we've been selling toner to the state of Arizona through the set-aside program for almost 10 years, and we've been selling office supplies for over 5 years in the private sector, and currently our capacity, our average capacity, is an average of 22 orders per day that we're able to fill for a total of about 1,100 customers, several hundred of which are current state customers through our toner set-aside contract. With our existing staff, we anticipate that we can triple that capacity with that existing staff. We do have the physical infrastructure to double that existing staff if needed. Now, to put that in context, tripling our capacity would equal about half of what the state currently purchases in office supplies. It's about a $5 million contract, as I understand. Together with state purchases and the co-op purchases. From our experience of almost 10 years supplying the state with remanufactured and OEM toner cartridges, we anticipate that far less than half of the state spend would come to our organization. Our toner experience shows us about 10%, and that's what we would anticipate from this contract. So with our existing staff, we could easily meet that, and we do have the capacity to grow if our orders exceeded the 10% of the state spend that we anticipate. And of course, our capacity to deliver, which is the part of this component that has the most benefit to the workers with disabilities, who would be delivering those items right to the state purchasers who purchase them. Again, two crews currently in operation, a third to be starting next month, and the rest would be developed after the approval by this body. The quality of the products is one of the components that is required by the set-aside legislation, and our products are the same that are available from any other big box retailer or any other vendor of office supplies. Same brands, same factories, they are the same equal products. And finally, the pricing. What we're offering the state is a really simple, easy to understand pricing structure. As I mentioned in the introduction, 32% off of MSRP on every single item, which is over 32,000 items on our list. The set-aside rules, as you all are aware, require competitiveness with the private sector. And MSRP is really defined as the market value for a given product. And so by definition, a 32% discount off of MSRP is competitive. And you combine that with our nonprofit sales tax benefit, that our customers do not have to pay sales tax, gives an average of 9% additional savings on top of that 32%, for a total average of about 41% off of MSRP, and so we don't believe it can be argued that our pricing is not competitive. And those really are the three components that we're required to meet with this proposal. We're excited about the people with disabilities that we can potentially put to work with this proposal, and the innovative, what we believe is an innovative structure of cooperating with other CNATIs in order to provide this delivery to the end user. And really, we're here to answer any questions or concerns that you may have and encourage the committee to vote for the approval of this proposal today.
Talk to me a little bit about your ability to integrate seamlessly with third-party punch-out platforms. Who's going to be handling the catalog on the back end of that punch-out?
We use a system to manage all of our office supplies and toner that have the ability to integrate with the SPO website through what's called the punch-out. Mm-hmm. And so the contract can be loaded into our system. State purchasers, when they log into our website, our catalog would be limited to only those items on the catalog. And we have additional capabilities of being able to have hierarchical approval in order to meet whatever the requirements are of each state department. And again, we have been working successfully with the state purchasers for close to 10 years on their set-aside contracts.
But I don't think toners have done punch-outs like office supply contract punch-outs are done.
You are correct. We have not implemented a punch-out with that, but our system is capable of doing so.
One of the things that I received in your offer was your top 10 items and you sell it. Who are your top sellers to on state? So who's buying your product? One of the things I got out of your research report is I sold this many of this, and here's the dollar value I sold, but I didn't get who you're selling it to. And if our focus is truly wanting to make sure that not just your revenue increases, but the state needs its 1%, then we're going to start expecting usage reports commensurate to what I would expect from my other contractors, which lists not just that, but also who it is that has bought the product.
Sure. And without having those specific facts in front of me, I would just have to venture a guess as to who our biggest state customer is, and I believe it is the Department of Economic Security, specifically RSA and ACI. Okay.
Have you gone into DOC before, do you know?
The DOC?
Well,
yeah, that's what we
yes.
meant.
Yes.
I meant DOC, not ACI.
Okay, I'm going. Okay, just wanted to make sure we have, because if you're having deliveries to desktop deliveries, you've got the security issues that you're going to have to deal with, and didn't know whether you had actually planned on or had a plan in place to accommodate those types of criteria for your delivery.
We have done business and continue to do business with the Department of Corrections and can work with their security systems. And in those cases, you're right, we can actually deliver it all the way to the user's desktop. As far as Bill Netta.
Yeah. Just your catalog was how many? 32,000 products.
It's over 32,000.
So what is there? Do you like boxes? Do you do office furniture?
It's a very broad catalog. That's really the breadth of which is modeled after the current category of office supplies under SPO. So it includes paper, pens, all of those kind of things we think of as office supplies. It does not include toner, which is on another category that we're already contracting with. It includes technology, computers, furniture, janitorial supplies. It's quite a broad category that the state SPO currently defines as office products.
I guess I'd have to look at it because that's part of some of that's part of our in terms of office furniture.
Well, and that does become a concern when I'm looking at technologies such as computers and computer-based products that potentially could require additional approvals other than just somebody ordering through the system. There are certain infrastructures and platforms we support. There are certain infrastructures and platforms we don't support in having one of those available just from somebody, oh, that's a good color, meaning that be where I want to go.
Sure. You know, if I may speak to Brian's point a little bit, our intention is not in any way to step on the toes of other set-asides providers, both ACI and the other one that I had in mind was STARS, Sponge Contract, that was just voted for renewal today. The way we view this is an opportunity for co-promotion. But certainly existing contracts, a couple different ways that it could be approached is we could, because of our infrastructure, our website, our order processing, could be a place to showcase other set-aside products from other vendors, where our sales team around the state could co-promote those items so that the end user, the purchaser, can be more aware of all of the, you know, products and services that, are available through set-aside providers. And secondarily, we could certainly remove any items from our list, you know, that that correspond with, like, the same products that you're producing.
Yeah, I thought I had to look at the whole 32,000.
No, and given, you know, I don't think we got a list of the whole 32. Oh, okay. You know, you've got a, what the information that was provided to me at least was like his top sellers or things that have been bought, you know, in the past, and that may not have been an item that had been purchased, so it wouldn't have shown up on his list. I do think I need to do a little bit of research in the areas of what that truly means in the IT area. And
Madam Chair,
no, go ahead.
If I may, I misspoke when I said technology items. We, as a company, we do sell technology items, computer, and those kind of things, and those are not included on this proposal.
Okay, so you're really on this proposal talking more about consumable, per se, office
yes.
products, the papers, the post-it notes, the pens, the binders, the binder clips, and those small and
yes.
similar items you might find at a desk.
There are like some USB cords and
right.
that kind of thing, but the computers,
but
the tablets, yeah. the phones, the screens, those are not included on that on this proposal. And we did, of course, send it the full 32,000 list item, but I imagine it's far too big to actually
yeah.
print out.
I didn't look at it. I wasn't looking at 32.
It's a massive Excel attachment.
But office furniture is included in all of
it. Office furniture is.
It can be restricted, right?
But again, we would be happy to work with any vendors that it might conflict with in order to either restrict it or enter into an arrangement to co-promote. Again, because our salespeople are out there meeting with procurement professionals who are placing these orders and are in a position to educate those individuals about the whole benefits of this program.
With your collaboration with Valley Life, how many people with disabilities are currently employed doing these types of services?
We've just started the collaboration 2 months ago, so there are currently two individuals working on the delivery crew with disabilities, and of course one job coach who leads them.
Yeah, only that one of that number of people who are involved. It's about two people here in Valley Life. Is that two people every day, the two people once a week, or the two people, you know?
The way that GSD crews are built is on a ratio. So it's a ratio of one job coach,
right.
supervisor person to two individuals with disabilities who are working. And so as we enter a market with Valley Life, we started with 1 day per week delivery, and then we're growing that as our sales and as demand and need for that grows. We anticipate that by the end of this year, that will be a full-time program. We're seeing quick and rapid growth.
I have a couple other questions, if that's okay. Okay. Delivery charges, are there any delivery charges, or those
delivery
the price?
Delivery is free, it's included in the price.
And then a little bit more about the clients that will be working on this. Only doing delivery, or will it be packaging? Will it be process order taking? I guess, trying to get my handle how many people the job this is really going to create, you think?
Yes, all of the above. And so the process starts with the placing of an order. And so in our headquarters in Flagstaff, we employ four receptionists with disabilities. They're served by a single job coach. And so that's the start of the process. They answer the phone, route the calls, and answer basic questions. In our call center, we have a call center manager who you guys may remember from the meeting in October, who joined us at this committee meeting, who has a visual impairment, And so in that call center, the manager and one of the customer service representatives have a disability. There is another customer service representative that does not have a disability. And then if you look at our shipping and receiving department, where orders are received and sent to where they need to go, that is anywhere from 2 to 5 disabled training workers. So they come to us through a work adjustment program where they are assessed and trained and work for a short period of time, usually 1 to 3 months. So that ratio is 1 job coach to 2 to 5 of those workers at any given time. And we see about 35 of those individuals go through the program per year.
So you're really doing all this difficult for fulfillment operation along with the delivery?
Correct. Correct. So receiving the order, processing the orders, fulfillment, and delivery. Yes.
Would you be open to one of the big office suppliers, at least across the country, in this arena is Skillcraft Supplies, which is part of Air's organization for the wine. I don't know if you're doing anything right now with that big or not, you're making anything out. But we'd be open to carrying their products as well.
Absolutely. And we do carry some of their products.
We do carry some of their products.
What, when we talked earlier about the 60% requirement, how does that all fit into this company?
And that's part of our challenge when we look at, they are a certified nonprofit, so they essentially clear that hurdle per se, because quite frankly, we're not quite sure which hurdle it was, but they seem to have cleared it. From that perspective right now, there's no real definition, so they've been certified, they're 100% capable and able, and award of the contract, they qualify. When and if advice is provided back to the committee from the AG's office, whatever that advice is depends on what we have to do. Either everybody recertifies or our status quo is fine. So until that point, everybody that is certified is currently still certified.
If I may, Madam Chair, I could speak to that ratio
sure.
a little bit more. I've defined it as each area of the task. I know the question of what does program mean is up for debate and being referred to the Attorney General. But the way we've looked at it is with each part of the task of getting it there. So the delivery crew itself would be fixed at a 66% ratio. That's because of the 2 clients to 1 job coach ratio. The call center is currently at a 75% ratio. With the 1 job coach together with our call center manager and CSR that do have a disability. And that ratio would increase as we get work adjustment and other client placements to add to that staff. And then finally, the shipping and receiving, which is 1 job coach to 2 to 5 individuals with disabilities. So that would range from 66 and upward into the 80% when we're at the high level of that. And so overall that gives us, and I haven't even added the total percentage, but it gives us somewhere in the range of mid-70s for this program.
On page 1 of the summary document, it refers to processing orders, procedures that you use, ECI, Britannia, and then they link to your partner and supplier, United Stationers. Can you tell me about United Stationers?
United Stationers is our primary supplier of office supplies, and they are the partner that I mentioned at the beginning of my description of our proposal. They are the largest distributor of office supplies in the United States. They're larger than the big box stores that many of us are familiar with. They are the supplier for many of the smaller dealers like us that are not as recognizable names as those big box stores. So they have the capacity greater than those recognizable competitors.
So are they the ones who provided the list of items for purchase? 1,500 pages worth, or 32,000, and...
Yes.
I started to print that off. And I hit stop.
I should have put do not print.
Yeah, really, top of that. Saved half a forest.
Yes, they're the largest... They're the largest distribution company of office supplies in the country by far. I have an amazing video, but I didn't bring it, describing their, how they do it.
Okay, and then you said, you gave the numbers of individuals with disabilities who would be employed by your definition of programs. How many employees do you have in total in your operation?
In our entire company?
Yeah, and then what percentage of those would be disabled?
We have approximately 80 total employees, most of which are employed in our residential department, which is providing around-the-clock services to people with disabilities, with more, some in some cases, more profound disabilities than we serve in our employment programs. And I wonder if you have more specific figures about that?
I'm just wondering if the 60% determination comes up one way or another that could impact potentially how that's...
You know...
QC office is about 60.
Yeah, this department of our company easily meets that criteria of 60%. I would be concerned if the AG determines that that has to be for the agency as a whole, because the residential services that we provide are so staff intensive, that as an agency, many companies like us would not need that.
And then another question I have is on page 3 of the summary in the middle, where it says our proposal can provide permanent full-time employment for up to 16 individuals with disabilities through the delivery crews, et cetera. Up to 35 per year for the training. So I'm not sure if that's the total number or how does that work. And you say can provide as opposed to will provide if you hit those targets. I mean, in other words, is it your intent to hit those numbers?
It is our intent to hit those numbers. In fact, we are hitting those numbers on the training side. The training number...
So you have 35?
The training number comes from our work adjustment services that we provide, and we provide training in all aspects of this program depending on the needs of each individual and their employment goals. Most of that's provided through RSA, through the work adjustment training program. The can provide up to 16 is referring to our delivery crew employment. And so where that figure comes from is an anticipation that it would take 8 of these group supported employment delivery crews to serve the major markets of Arizona, all of which would be in partnership with other CNATIs like ourselves, who would provide the job coach, they would provide the employees, and they would be their employees that they would manage, and they would bill RSA for those, or DDD for those services. And then we would compensate them for providing the delivery service, is how that works. And so what that is 8 total crews with 2 individuals on each crew.
So then back to the pricing issue, I noticed on that little document, it showed list price and then what you would charge for those items. How was the list price determined?
The list price is published by the manufacturers. So it's the manufacturer's suggested retail price.
Okay, and then do we know what other sellers of these products would charge for those? I mean, are they all selling at list, or how do you compare to what would be your competitors?
Well, it can be difficult to compare to list of 30,000 plus items, as you can imagine.
I'm sure you've done that.
And yes.
And we're United has somebody.
Well, certainly. And that's what makes this category of office supplies a little bit complex. Some contractors will use a core list, and so they'll offer their customers, hey, we've got these amazing prices on these 300 items, and they may discount them as much as 80% off of MSRP on those core items. And then they, it's really a deliberate tactic to then hide the higher prices that are in the rest of the thousands of items that that organization may not scrutinize as much. And so, yeah, we our idea is that we can offer the state a simpler solution, one with less confusion and no opportunity for those hidden price increases that would cost the state additional money, instead of just having an across-the-board discount.
The other thing you mentioned, Chair, is that you don't charge sales tax. If you go to this particular contract that presumably would be fairly high volume, or at least potentially, are you going to check with our State Department of Revenue to make sure that they agree you don't need to collect sales tax?
We've done that twice already, and it has been approved by the set aside committee twice already, but we have checked with the Department of Revenue, and they agree that we don't have to charge sales tax.
Okay. Well, that's for the toner project.
That's for all, for anything that we sell, that anything that a nonprofit sells.
If you sell tanks, if you sell anything.
If you sell tanks.
Looking for a tank?
Really? If you look at other similar organizations,
I'm going to leave too.
Okay.
When you shop at Goodwill, nobody pays sales tax for the exact same.
Okay. I'd also like to ask a couple questions about this legal opinion that you received from the good offices of Robert Miller and Flagstaff. I think you all have it in your packet. I read through it, and the conclusion is that you can sell toner and any other office products under the set-aside procurement program of the Arizona Procurement Code. But there was one line in there that gave me pause, and I'm not trying to make a joke of this, but it says essentially that because particular statute, looking at the middle of page two, is logically inconsistent on its face and as a practical matter makes no sense regarding office products, it should be disregarded by the committee. If we did that for every statute on the books that did that, we would be in chaos. So my concern would be about the legal interpretation presented here that's a justification for doing something. And I don't know if you've had the lawyers take a look at this, but I would think that just to be sure, we might want to take a look at that with our AG as well, and make sure that we're on firm footing if we choose to proceed.
I can answer the fact that that's a legal opinion granted to QC that has no bearing on the legal or the legal status of the state in general. However, we could certainly ask that question.
But that's the legal justification for this moving forward, so.
Well, no, that's the legal justification
for.
It has no bearing on what the committee has to do. If the committee chooses to refer for additional investigation, they can certainly refer to information they can deny or they can.
Yeah,
so they have some options.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, my point was the fact that it also says here that Arizona Correctional Industries does not manufacture office products. I guess you've got to look at the definition, because if they're making furniture, if they're making boxes, those are all things that you provide. So.
And so then I guess the last question I have in relation to this is that I know that through the procurement office, office supplies are go through a procurement process of a full bid thing. This seems to produce a major competitor to that selected party going through this process. And I'm not sure if that doesn't kind of circumvent the procurement code. It might be legal, but I'm not sure if it's quite right. It just kind of gave me an odd feeling. So I wanted to raise that issue with you and see if that's something that should be reviewed further before we proceed.
I think some of your concerns definitely, as presented before this committee, are valid. I'm sorry, how do you feel?
I have them all the time.
I'm in that position. From that perspective, again, I think it's up to the committee how they choose to refer. Legally speaking, there can be a non-mandatory contract for products as well as a statewide competed product contract, because we've done that before when new products have come into play. Stepping outside of the chair position, my concern would be more along the lines of how do we truly present what's authorized to be purchased through QC office, if that's the choice of the committee, because I do have concerns of, am I crossing over onto somebody else's specifically stated territory, and I'm using territory lightly, based on what the statute says. And if that's the case and we can make that delineation, then you know what's not in the list of 3,200 and then what's the next step. So there are some concerns, I think, from my perspective, if the committee moves forward, there's going to be some investigation on that too. And I think QC's been very quiet and very patient, so.
If I can just speak to one of Mr. Apperson's objections about the legal argument. We consider this legal argument to have been settled over 9 years ago when the state first entered into a set-aside contract with Quality Connections for toner, which is in fact an office supply. So there is precedent, close to 10 years of precedent with the state doing business through the set-aside contract for office supplies, in our opinion. And then to Brian Basie's point, again, the breadth of our proposal was just modeled after the current contract, and we have no intention whatsoever of transferring any work from one vulnerable group of a population to another. And so certainly we would entertain, you know, revising our product list to make sure that there were no overlap at all. I would encourage the committee to vote today with those recommended changes.
No legal overlap is what you're saying. So if there's some definitive law that says that ACI can do this and then exclusively, then you guys would not infringe on their area, legally not possible. But any other area is open for.
I'm going beyond that, and a professional courtesy that we do not want to take away from any other set aside contractor's business.
Fair enough.
In any way.
On the distribution part of this contract, what is your delivery ARO from in the northern part of the southern part of the state? From what I understand, you're getting it from a warehouse in Tempe, I think it is. So how are you going to, how long is it going to take you to distribute?
4 days, from the 4 business days, from the day the order is placed to delivery.
95% of the items are the next day.
Well, the ones in this area, I think. Maricopa County.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our distribution center, I wish I brought the video because it's amazing. But they have, yeah, as Armando said, 95% of the items are stocked here in Phoenix. And so when we place an order today, those items arrive with us tomorrow, and our crew will be delivering them. The items beyond the 95 will be coming from other distribution centers, and they have 51 others. And so by the fourth day, we will deliver 100% of those items.
So you're using United, their distribution center to get you out of Maricopa County, am I? Is that what I understand?
United gets it to us.
Yeah, so if you have a Flagstaff distribution, then they're going to truck it up to Flagstaff. Is that what they're saying?
For Flagstaff orders, and then each of our partners, so for instance, with Valley Life, who's now serving the Phoenix area, our orders for the Phoenix area are delivered straight to Valley Livestock from United Stationers. And so Valley Life, our partner, just becomes another QC office doc, and we will be establishing those in the other major population centers. Yeah, and so we have a proven track record of meeting that 4-day timeline in the close to 10 years that we've served the state.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a question. You had said that you would be willing to consider Ability One products to be, so you'd go through the 30,000 list, look for things that are essentially the same, that Stillcraft, the brand label for Ability One, there's a lot of Stillcraft products. I think Source of America uses the same label on some office supplies and so on. And they make over probably 1,000 of the office supplies. You're willing to substitute? How is your vendor going to respond to that?
Well, we currently do carry some Stillcraft products right now. And actually, most of those are in the toner category, and so they don't fit into this contract. How our vendor would respond, I'm not concerned with. They are our vendor, and they supply what we need to purchase. We are free. We're not under any obligation to do an exclusive business with them. We're free to deal with any vendors that they can. On a contractual basis, of course, if this is approved today, then this list with the modifications that we're talking about would go into effect, and we'd have to come back before this committee to amend it after we've had a chance to research and add some additional products.
Okay, so at some point down the road, you know, say one of the nonprofit agencies here locally that's part of the set-aside, say TCH, you know, they gain the capacity or competency to make paper pads. And so they come to the state set-aside, but you have a whole host of paper pads, color, sizes, you know. You will take that off or substitute what they make with what you offer? Is that part of this proposal?
Part of this proposal is developing what we think is this innovative delivery system and potential to showcase other set-aside products. So in that particular situation, if TCH developed a product, I would hope we could work with TCH and we could promote and market that product through our website in order to work together to put more people to work with disabilities.
I guess the real qualifier in this question is whether or not it's competitive with what you can also provide, because ultimately your customer would be the state in this particular instance. So you have to look out, the state has to be responsible in their spending, and so you have to be responsible as their supplier. So as long as we're competitive, I guess that would be the qualifier for that.
Sure. You know, and our intent of this delivery system could potentially be that we could help other set-aside providers distribute their products to the state who don't have the ability to set up the infrastructure that we have in terms of ordering, processing those orders, shipping and receiving. A small agency that developed a pad of paper that didn't have the rest of that, we could help them distribute that across the state. And QC Office could become a venue for many set-aside products.
So, Madam Chair, how many other suppliers do we have that provide office products and just one, the Department of Corrections?
Oh, yeah, I thought you were, well, we have, then that's, that's got one in the set aside, and we have my standard regular office supply contract.
Stevens?
Currently.
And they're okay with this?
Stable? I haven't asked. I'll be right on the phone after this.
Part of the way that we proposed this was to start the day after that contract ends, and currently the office supply contract isn't RFP. So,
if I may ask, are you going to respond to the RFP? Don't need to?
Don't want to. We're a set-aside provider. We feel this is a proper venue.
So is there a reason, could you go beyond 10%? I mean, you anticipated 10% of the total
cost? We have the capacity currently to meet half of that state spend, which is about $2.5 million.
But you're anticipating?
We're anticipating only 5 to 10%, which is the experience that we have with the toner.
I think we would love to have more of that. So the more.
Well, I think we can go to other questions, Jim. You know, you've got the other set of off-site people all going on competitive bid. You're going through this process, and in the process, you're taking an item with you, which didn't have to compete for it. And they got it through the association. That's where, you know, that question.
Part of the urgency that we feel in this proposal, because the state contract is ending on the 9th, is that if this item were to be tabled for the next meeting, we would be put at a significant disadvantage of the next contractor or contractors, which is what we've experienced in the last set aside with the TONER proposal. The state still hasn't received an announcement that we have a TONER contract.
Have you been contacting people already?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have a Salesforce, a state run Salesforce.
But your contracts have been loaded with curiosity?
They have been, thank you.
I guess I'd like to just put, I know they're in a hurry to try to get some stuff here, but there seems to just be, for me, too many holes, but I'd like to get some more information and research. I haven't even looked at all the products, and I just looked on the website. And United Stationers is clearly stated on there. It's office supplies and furniture, so we're going to have another furniture vendor here. And I'm a little bit leery when I read a legal document that says it's ACI or whatever, doesn't manufacture any of these products. And so somebody hasn't done all their homework here, unfortunately. And that's what makes me a little bit concerned that we're going to potentially sign up for something or really haven't done enough legwork and due diligence.
You said that you'd like action by the 9th of which month? Would it be possible to address some of the committee's concerns between now and that date and convene a special meeting? I don't oppose what you're trying to do in concept, but I have my questions that I'd like to have answered before I vote yes to help you and those with disabilities, but I just think addressing some of the concerns would be wise before moving ahead with so many questions outstanding. But I'd be willing to try to act in advance of the 9th if that's something you think would be doable.
What are the questions that need to be answered?
The intersection between the ACA contract in statute mm-hmm. and what's being offered. I think it's the
best. Well, I had a question about the the legal opinion that's dated not 10 years ago, but before 2014. It's April 2014. I just have a question about the legal opinion here and what kind of a precedent are we setting with respect to doing it this way as opposed to the normal procurement process? And are we not creating a proper relationship between the regular procurement process for office products and this process? And so I would ask if that fits appropriately.
Any other questions?
Is the goal by the 9th to clarify what products are in conflict here? Is that the goal? And then move forward on anything with the exception of those items? I just don't want us to leave this room with some cloud over this.
No, absolutely. I don't think the cloud is honestly created by QC, because I think right. They've offered, this is everything that I can do, and we as a committee have some challenges in clarifying where those chips might be falling right now. So getting the clarification with how it interacts with the legislatively provided ACI directive and how it works with the current public procurement process. If it's not a mandatory contract, do I still have the ability to create a public competitive contract for the same types of products in competition to that? Specifically, what contracts or what items do we feel are in conflict? We've got furniture. We potentially have technology that we need to make sure might not be. So that review of the list of the 3,200 for identification of potential zap outs.
32,000.
32,000. I'm going 100 in case we feel that. Small steps. I'll look at 3,200 bytes. I'll look at it 10 times. 3,200
times. There's one other thing that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And is this price really competitive? I don't have any idea. I guess we had an idea whether that this really is competitive with what's out there.
Is that something that the procurement person would have to evaluate based on the options at their disposal, I guess?
But there's a couple of different things, and this unfortunately kind of plays back into the fair market value definition the subcommittee is working on. You have MSRP, and then you have fair market value that if I were to walk into any store, if I were to walk into Office Max, I'm buying this pen. QC consult for this, what is Office Max selling for? What is Staples Retail selling it for? What is List Office Products in it? So there's one level of fair market value check. Actually getting to a fair market value check on my existing contract is challenging because it is listed as a catalog off. Essentially, you would have to have someone from the state go in and essentially create a comparable order and get back a price quote. And for 32,000 items, that probably isn't happening by September 9th.
Could we do like they do with a comparison shopping at a grocery store, a bag of the same items, and maybe do 15, 20, 30 items for to be procured at five different places and Walmart, Costco, wherever else you check?
Certainly, I think if the committee feels that they need additional, we could actually, if QC wanted to do the fair market retail price, we could do the contract price based on the same market basket.
Okay. I think that would be possible.
Would that be? Sure. You feel that would be reasonable?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
We were talking about doing fair market checks where potentially QC goes to the retail market to do the Walmart, Costco, Office Max, Office Depot, whatever. Whereas we tighten that down to a market basket. Give me 15 to 20 items, and while they're doing a retail site check, we would do the contract site check on those items.
Makes sense.
What about the tax savings and
We would just identify the actual comparable price of the item, since tax and delivery are not compared. We don't consider tax when we work contracts anyway, from that perspective. So it would be something that comparable, we're really looking at is this comparable to that when we work contracts.
But if they were comparable, then their savings would be the tax and the...
And that is something that, yes, mm-hmm. yes, we'll do that.
And one of the best things I heard today was Stephen mentioned was putting in more products that are made by people with disabilities. Is that possible to formalize that into an agreement that we make?
That would have to be a revised proposal, I think, from the state perspective. They are bringing back the information on that if they choose to model that.
On page 3 of the benefits of the contract, there is a sentence there that says that there's one of the things that we're already open to, but excited about.
This contract will encourage growth of products provided to the state by CMATIs through the set aside program and help the state move to a 100% goal. If I may, Madam Chair, offer a revisal to our proposal of literally striking out every single furniture item so that it's clear there is no contradiction or blurred lines between the products that we're offering and the products that ACI offers. We do business with ACI. In fact, you guys make all of our boxes for our toner products. So again, I just want to reiterate that we have no intention of taking any business from any other set-aside provider, and we would entertain the committee voting on that revised proposal without any furniture items whatsoever. And I think the other legal matters that James brings up are really important, but I view them as something that the AG, state AG, would sign off after the committee gives it to her own recommendation.
Just one comment I can make is that, you know, it's this committee, I think, is, you know, one of the purposes of it is to find ways to create more jobs for people with disabilities, and to put more barriers. And, you know, I would be very comfortable with approving something like today, pending the okay of the Attorney General's office on the areas that we have concern about.
And striking all those items.
Yes, exactly.
It would be in conflict with, you know.
I have to look at the items. I mean, I, is there anything else? I don't know.
And board will entertain a motion.
Somebody has to say something at the motion. I think Steve kind of summarized that we entertain a motion to proceed with, how do you want to say this so we cover everything?
Proceed with the request. With the caveat that any items such as furniture that are in conflict with any other procurement
set aside
would be addressed by September 9th, and that having clarified that we could
and having gone through the legal process of ensuring that we're not in any violation of any of the criminal statutes.
Okay, the motion before the committee is pending legal approval of the current status that QC's revised proposal to offer office supplies from 32,000 products minus anything that might be in conflict with any other set aside distribution product be approved. What she said?
What she said.
Yes, what she said.
I'll second it.
What she said in the second. Is there any discussion?
Sure, I still feel a little uncomfortable, but I'd still like to have more study on it.
I just think it's doing business backwards. I would want my questions answered up front quickly and then decide where to go, because we could get answers that are not black and white, especially from a lawyer, that would mean that you'd want to take a slightly different direction. What do you do then? We have time. Why not get our concerns addressed, have a special meeting in early September, end of August, whenever. We could schedule something, do it electronically if we can, and act out of knowing instead of guessing. So I would, for that reason, I don't oppose what you're doing. I want to help people with disabilities. It's what we do. So, you know, that's not the issue. It's how we do our business at this point. So I would suggest we postpone a motion and a vote until such time as that quick research is completed and we can convene this group again before the 9th of September.
So my understanding of the motion was it was...
You're going to make me go for break out Robert's rules of order, aren't you?
I almost offered a substitute motion when I thought you'd hit me over the head.
We can strike the first motion.
Deal with the first motion. Currently, let us deal with the first motion. A motion and a second on approving QC's amended offering pending the Attorney General's approval that the revised 32,000 list be stricken of all items in conflict. That was the motion, and that was the second. We have a pending motion on hold while I deal with the first motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
forgot to do that back on hand vote that was too close on things. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Or raise your hand, aye. All those opposed? That's a tie, isn't it?
Motion fails. On tie vote.
Six ayes.
Eyes up again. One, two, three, four, five. Noes? One, two, three, four. I have to vote, don't I? I have to go for more information, so I've got a tie. Because I seriously think I need to look through a couple of things. And please understand that we do understand the importance that you've placed on the time.
Yeah, and I appreciate the flexibility and what they proposed. I just think, as you mentioned, there's just too many holes here that I'd like to get some.
Okay, so the motion as stated failed. I have a second motion on the floor. Would you like to read the motion?
What I said.
What he said, which I believe was the motion on the floor is to
address the
append, table the motion to address the concerns as outlined for the legal opinion, ACI offerings, products in conflict, price competition, and the revised offer from QC, and have that revision or have all of that investigation done to schedule a meeting late August, early September, before the September 9th deadline to vote on the revised proposal.
I second that.
What she said, and he said, okay. So I have a first and I have a second.
First. Okay.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. So, to restate the action item, we will be getting with you for resolution on those items that were mentioned. The minutes will so reflect because probably not going to get them all right again if I stated. And the board is looking at a special meeting late August, early September to revisit this issue.
I want to just thank the committee for due consideration.
Madam Chair, in a past proposal, what had happened with the toter contract, the existing toter contract, the state took the liberty to amend the contract already in place to allow the set aside committee to more time to receive our proposal. That's just a suggestion.
Okay, done with contract items, and we still have five items to go. We are at 3:02, and item number six, any future agenda items? Obviously, we have the revision of the QC proposal. Are there any other future agenda items that the committee would like to have some agenda? Hearing none, is there number seven, committee comments and suggestions? Comments and suggestions? Okay, number eight, call to the public. Is there any member of the public that at this time would like to address the committee?
Madam Chair, I'm Ryan Shin with ASDD Document Destruction. We're a program of the Centers for Rehabilitation. I'm also here with Great Neck Bay Program.
Yes, I'm with Beaton Group.
We currently have dual contracts with the state to set aside for document destruction. Just as a courtesy to the board, we would like to make you aware that we are in contact with Betty Austin to be on the agenda next time around to propose our new five-year contract for document destruction as our current five-year contract expires in November. We will be at that time proposing new pricing as market practice and prices have changed over the last 5 years, and to stay competitive and fair to the state, we want to readdress those. We will also be asking to add other media destruction, hard drive destruction, and on-site document destruction for the state on that contract as well. We would also like to propose a second contract asking for a mandatory contract for confidential document destruction for the set aside.
Okay.
No, something, the only thing else I can add is that we currently have two separate contracts that cover different counties in the state that combine to cover 100% of the state between Beacon Group and ASDD, and that would continue.
Thank you very much.
Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Okay, as an announcement, a reminder, other than the special meeting, the next regularly scheduled meeting is Wednesday, October the 15th. You will receive your invitations and your agendas. I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Next motion, you have a second. Motion, second. You guys speak so fast, Matt's trying to delay this and you're done already. Call it at 3:05. Thank you all very much.